Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A Fairbanks man is charged with assault after pointing a gun at passing people and drivers on University Avenue during rush hour last night. Fairbanks police say 41-year-old Nunzio D'Acquisto III dropped the gun, which turned out to be a BB pistol, and was safely detained. They say police responded after multiple people called before 5 p.m. reporting that a man at the intersection of University Avenue and Rewack Drive was pointing a gun at passing vehicles and pedestrians, including children. Fairbanks Police spokesperson Yumi McCulloch says D'Acquisto has mental health issues and has had numerous past contacts with local law enforcement. There was a large response last night to a fast-moving new wildfire in the Fairbanks area. The Alaska Fire Service reports that air and ground resources were mobilized to the blaze burning in Black Spruce near the Salter River. AFS spokesperson Beth Ipson says the suspected lightning-caused start was hit hard by firefighters.
12 smoke jumpers on the ground. We also had a lot of aircraft that were working from above. We had one air retardant tanker, quite a few water scoopers, including the smaller fire bosses and the larger water scoopers that were dumping water on the fire. And we also had a helicopter that was dumping buckets of water on the fire. So we aggressively went after it.
The new fire is located 3 miles northeast of where 98 Creek runs into the Salter River, just within the military's Yukon training area and about a mile and a half away from a cabin. The 98 Creek fire is estimated at 40 to 50 acres as of this morning. Progress is reported by managers of the Shovel Creek wildfire northwest of Fairbanks despite challenging conditions. That's the message from a state team managing the response to the blaze near Murphy Dome. At a public meeting last night, fire behavior analyst Bill Aney said a warming and drying trend is increasing activity.
A good rule of thumb is anything less than about 35% relative humidity and greater than 75 degrees Fahrenheit is going to be creating some pretty active fire behavior, and we've been seeing that the last 2 or 3 days.
Aney said the trend is forecast to continue into the weekend when there is an increased chance of showers. Meanwhile, firefighters supported by airdrops and a system of hoses feeding water to the fire line are working to head off the blaze's advance to the north, south, and east, where there are homes and recreational cabins in its potential path. Fire Operations Chief Jake Livingston described the resources deployed and the plan of attack.
We have 6 hotshot crews, 2 Type 2 crews, and quite a few engines, water tenders, dozers, that sort of thing up on the fire. Just on the direct fire edge right now, there's at least 170 people. So that's the crews and then the fire line supervisors. What they're doing is trying to keep the fire as small as possible. They're working down this ridge, which runs all the way down to the Chattanooga River, trying to keep it up on this ridge and come around and tie into Shovel Creek.
Livingston says firefighters have strung 15 miles of hose along portions of the blaze's perimeter, fed by a constant train of water tanker trucks. He emphasized that containing the fire requires more than cutting a line around it.
It's not just going along the edge. You have to work in, you know, say 100 feet to 300 feet, depending on the vegetation types.
Residents of 5 subdivisions in the vicinity of the Shovel Creek fire, plus people who live along the Chattanooga River corridor, remain in pre-evacuation status. Fairbanks North Star Borough Emergency Operations Director David Gibbs described the national Ready, Set, Go evacuation protocol the borough is using.
The ready stage is just the pre-evacuation preparedness. The set stage is get ready to go at very short notice. There's lots of things you can do. They're detailed on the materials that we're passing out. And then the go stage is go immediately. That means get out of the way, kind of get to a safe spot. We have already established a shelter location.
Gibbs says people can subscribe to a text and email notification service, noting that the borough also has a reverse 911 system to get emergency alerts to landline phones. The Shovel Creek fire is one of over a dozen currently being fought around the state. Incident Commander Norm McDonald listed numerous resources mobilized from outside to aid suppression efforts statewide.
We've got over 1,000 firefighters in the lower 48 in Alaska to help support our efforts. We have aircraft from Canada, 2 provinces in Canada, Washington. We have helicopters coming up from Idaho.
So far this season, 341 wildfires have burned over 266,000 acres in Alaska. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation held hearings in Fairbanks yesterday on an updated plan to address the area's wintertime fine particulate pollution problem. The new regulations in the Serious State Implementation Plan, or SIP, are up for public comment. KUAC's Robin reports.
The Serious SIP is a serious document. If you read all the recommendations and the research and regulations behind them, you'd cover more than 1,000 pages. But many of the commenters who testified to DEC Commissioner Jason Bruni and his staff, like Dr. Owen Hanley, had read the draft and had done their homework.
The SIP has lots of elements needed to help solve our air quality problem. Two things are lacking. One is resources, and the second is enforcement power.
Hadley said DEC needs a lot more staffers to monitor the estimated 14,000 wood stoves in the area where winter air pollution is the worst, called the non-attainment area. And some other commenters also supported the idea that DEC should have the power to ticket polluters.
I'm Jim Dodson. I'm president of Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. We also believe that some type of enforcement authority will be necessary in the future.
I'm a big proponent of citation authority. You must have enforceable measures in the SIP or it's not acceptable in the SIP.
That was Patrice Lee of Citizens for Clean Air. She was referring to requirements in the Federal Clean Air Act. To meet those standards, suggestions in the draft include registration of new wood stoves, which must be EPA compliant. New construction and rental units can't have wood stoves as their primary heat source. There might be lower thresholds for particulate pollution coming out of home heating devices. There should be no visible smoke crossing property lines. And there'll be more burn ban days when pollution levels are high. There are recommendations for polluters both big and small. Power plants like those at Golden Valley Electric Association in Fort Wainwright and coffee roasters like William Rogers of McCafferty's.
We need to be individually assessed and to make sure that the fix doesn't break our abilities and our pocketbooks.
Rogers thanked DEC staff for including coffee roasters in the scoping of the regulations. He had approached the issue with some humor, putting some roasts together at his coffee shop and labeling the blend Serious Sip. Mike Prox brought a packet of the coffee to the microphone when he came to testify. He used it to make a point about government overregulation and enforcement.
I think you need to trust people. This is the Serious Sip from McCafferty's Coffee House. And
thanks, Mike.
Well, it's just a good idea. When you see somebody violating air quality, sit down with a cup of sip and talk about it, not enforce it.
The friction between regulating polluters to spare the public health and protecting freedom to choose a cheaper source of heat, even if it's more polluting, has informed and colored the issue of air quality in the interior. One suggestion may mean a significant cost to local consumers, changing from number 2 diesel fuel to the much cleaner burning number 1 heating fuel. Here are Ken Hall, John Denny, and Karen Jansen.
Number 1 fuel, I think you've underestimated the cost, and I would ask you to look at the timeline to implement going to number 1 fuel.
We wanted to urge full understanding of the fuel market and potential changes that it might make and how that would impact GVEA's members.
And I don't think that there is that great of a benefit to be gained by burning only number 1 as opposed to number 2.
A timeline for finalizing the state implementation plan and a place to make written comments are on the DEC website. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The DEC public comment period on the Serious SIP ends July 26th. I'm Dan Bross.